Welcome everyone to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host Jordan Ron on ESPN. ESPN.com Giants reporter here with the final week episode featuring Dane Belton. We're going to talk to the young Giants safety in a few minutes. But first things first, I really need to apologize. There was no episode last week. And I know, you're saying to yourself, come on, Jordan, you let us down. And I get it. Excuses are for losers. Yet I'm going to sit here and I'm going to provide you excuses real quick. It was a short week. It was the holidays. I wasn't feeling good. My house wasn't feeling good. Had to run around. Maybe producer Scopin is just so good that he's going to make my voice sound good right now. But my voice is messed. It's messed up right now. Like every word I'm talking here hurts. I have a cup of tea here next to me. Trying to make it feel good. Trying to soothe my throat. So I'm trying. So I apologize. That's all I could do. I could apologize to you. Now we'll get to a few things. We got a few topics we got to touch on here. Number one, you know, all the questions you really guys want to hear about. We'll talk about the quarterback situation, the draft, right? How they handle that, which guys and coaches, players and coaches might stay and go. We'll get to that in a little bit. We haven't been here since the last time I did one of these. Tommy DeVito was still the starter. Giants played the Eagles. Brian Abel benched him at halftime. Tyrod, they played the Rams the following week. Tyrod started. So, real quick, let's touch on the Tommy DeVito subject. Here's what we know now that we've seen this all unfold. The Giants don't really consider Tommy DeVito part of their plans, right? That's just the reality of the situation. That's what this says. Their actions, that's what their actions tell you. Because if they wanted to develop DeVito and it mattered to them, they have no reason to play Tyrod Taylor now. He's like 2.5 games, right? I get it. Tyrod Taylor's a better quarterback right now than Tommy DeVito. That was always the case. We knew that. But you're a young quarterback. You're not really playing for anything. Let's try and develop. Let's see what we got. Maybe we do have a cheap free backup. Maybe in some miracle he did develop into something bigger. Who knows? But now the Giants have made it clear Tommy DeVito is going to be their third quarterback this offseason. Maybe he develops into more. We'll see. But in the meantime, they're going to either, and Joe Shane has said this, sign someone in free agency or draft a quarterback. Now, the more I talk to people around the league, the more I get the sense that the Giants, with this high pick, right, they're excited to have a high pick. They want to have a high pick. And why would you want to have a high pick? Because you want to draft a quarterback. Right? This is a rare opportunity. You don't get up this high very often. And Joe Shane, I truly believe this. His reputation is at stake. His career is at stake here. Does he really, can you, with a good conscience, want to build your team right now around a quarterback who now has, remember when they first arrived, he was coming off a season where he injured his neck and missed the final six games. Now he has two neck injuries and a torn ACL. Do you want to put your career and reputation at stake on that? Does Joe Shane really want to do that? Or does he see an opportunity here? Say, hey, we can get our quarterback. We can build. We're going to have a top. Right now the Giants have the fifth pick. They could get up even higher. I don't see it that likely of them moving up beyond like four. But anyway, the question is, you know, as I'm talking to scouts and executives who have looked at some of these college quarterbacks, it seems like Caleb Williams and Drake May are the top two, according to most people. And the third one that's going to come in is likely Jaden Daniels, the LSU prospect, the LSU quarterback. What did he excel at? Throwing the deep ball. So Tyrod does well. So Josh Allen does well. Brian Daboll seems to like that in his quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels was unbelievable throwing deep ball this year. Athletic. His frame is a little bit of a concern to some people, but he's the one that I'm going to keep my eye on to start. Now, we'll see. The question is he available if the Giants pick five? Or does that third quarterback go before? And you're going to say, well, what about Michael Penix? And I agree. Michael Penix, if it was just talent, skill, and the way he's played, talking about the Washington quarterback, obviously was great all year. Heisman runner-up, amazing in the college football semifinal. But Michael Penix, there are people in the NFL that are, probably every NFL team actually, that are very concerned about his medicals, about his health. Talk about a guy who had four consecutive seasons end with injuries. Two of them were torn ACLs. How are you going to, if you're the New York Giants, invest that high a pick, let's say in the top 10, in Michael Penix Jr., who has that kind of injury history. Forget the age. I don't care about age. If you're a 25-year-old, first of all, I think he's younger, 24, 23 or 24. But even if you're a 25-year-old quarterback, like, you could last 10 years as a quarterback in the NFL. If you get 10 years out of a quarterback, it's a great run, right? So who cares? So age, I don't care, I don't worry about. But the injury history is something you got to worry about. Will his body hold up? Will he get old super quick? What happens when he loses some of it? He's not even, like, his athleticism isn't even his strength now, already. He's still in college because of the injuries. So these are all concerns. I have a hard time thinking, all right, we have a quarterback whose biggest concern, and that, trust me, the Giants believe, their biggest concern with Daniel Jones is health. Right? Because they like him. They signed him. They were willing to pay and invest him. So they think he's a quality quarterback, all things aside. But health is the biggest concern for him right now. You're going to double down on that and take another quarterback with a health problem, with a long medical history? I have a hard time believing that. I do. I just have a hard time believing that. All right, let's get to some of the players and coaches real quick, and we'll get into Dame Belt in a few minutes. Whether they return or not, Saquon Barkley, he spoke this week, made it very clear once again, he does not want to be franchise tagged. That doesn't mean he won't be franchise tagged. $12.1 million. The Giants can absorb that this year. They have pretty healthy salary cap-wise. If they really want to, they could absorb that. And the Giants aren't scared about Saquon Barkley being upset. You saw them just play like that this year. They were like, oh, we don't care. Here's the tag. Here's our offer. No, I think it would benefit both sides to try to work something out. What exactly that number is, we'll have to reassess. But figure in that $12 million range. $12.5 million. Like, if you're the Giants, I probably wouldn't even go there. So, like, multi-year deal at that range. So, like, what's Saquon's option? Hit the market? Is he really going to get $12 million in the free agent market? No. So there's a middle ground, I think, somewhere out there. We'll see if they can come to it. But $12.1 million really isn't that bad for Saquon on the franchise tag, if you ask me. I really don't think so. Now, he obviously wants to hit free agency. He said this because then you can see what his real value is on the open market. He also wants to stay in New York, right? He wants to finish his career here. His legacy matters to him. And also post-career-wise, he envisions himself being in New York, doing things in New York, you know, business-wise, media-wise. So I'm leaning towards it makes sense for him to return. Giants have so many holes on offense. They need a quarterback. We already talked about that. They need a number one wide receiver. Need to find one of those. They need to upgrade the offensive line. Multiple pieces. You then let Saquon Barkley walk. Now you need a running back too. That's a minimum of five pieces. Five real deal, super important pieces that you need on your offense, right? And it's either going to cost you money or assets. Like, you don't just have unlimited money and assets. I don't know if you could really just let him walk. I really don't. As for the coaching staff, I really do. We're going to see some upheaval here. That's just the vibe I'm getting from talking to people. You could start with Wink Martindale. We know about the tension that existed there. I don't think that has subsided. I think if Wink Martindale had his druthers, that he would leave. Now, he's still under contract. So there's other factors that go into this. John Mara sits him down. Can they work it out? We'll see. We'll see. It'll probably take some enticing, maybe more money. A few extra years for Wink Martindale. I believe the Giants coaches are all on, they have 1 year left on their deal after this year. If you want to keep them, usually with coaches, you don't bring everybody into their final year of their deal. You roll over, you tack on a year or whatever. So maybe there's some kind of solution there. The interesting part is, I heard this from a second person recently, that Mike Kafka also, if he had his druthers, would probably want to leave. And we're not talking about getting fired. We're not talking about firing Wink and Kafka. We're talking about them wanting to leave if it was their choice. Now they're under contract, like I said. So it's not all necessarily their choice. They want to get paid, at least. So it'll be interesting who stays and who goes in that regard. I think the Giants could lose both coordinators. And then Thomas McGahee was the one you're saying, well, he was the one you're like, well, we saw earlier in the year, we saw in the preseason, Brian Dable stink eyed him already, you know, was disgusted by him in the preseason, it seemed like. And then, has the special teams gotten, you know, done anything throughout this season or much throughout this season that make you think that that provides confidence, that makes you think they want to keep rolling forward like this? Ranked, put 26th, I believe, in EPA, 23rd last year. That's not good. Another one everybody wants to know is Bobby Johnson. And when you look at the development of the offensive line, it's hard to make a case for Bobby Johnson here. Like, even if you think he's a good coach with Bobby Johnson, I'm talking about the Giants offensive line coach. Even if we think he's a good coach, and let's say the Giants, Brian Daboll, think he's a good coach, it might just be time for a different approach in that room with some of these young guys, right? Because if you look at Josh Azudu, Marcus McKeithen, Evan Neal, John Michael Schmitz has struggled badly this year. We have not seen the development and progress in any way, shape, or form. It makes me think I'd be surprised if Bobby Johnson was back at this point. Now, when we're talking about whether Brian Daboll will pull the trigger on that, that's a different story. Because remember, that's one of his guys. It's one of the guys he brought with him. But I don't know how you could look at that objectively from an outsider view and come to the conclusion that they need to stick with Bobby Johnson. So I think that's a change that is inevitably coming. There'll be some more changes to the coaching staff as well. But we'll get to that, probably at least discuss it in next week's episode. Maybe we'll even have some resolution to some of that by next week's episode. Now, here's the one caveat I have. I can't see the Brian Daboll getting rid of all three of his coordinators. Because if he does that, all of the pressure is on him. Even if he gets rid of two of his coordinators, all of the pressure is on him. Plus, I don't think if you're John Mara, you can't just let him get rid of all of his coordinators. That's ridiculous. You're basically going to have to start over at offense, defense. I mean, offense he'll take over, but on defense and special teams, that's a lot of turnover. I don't think John Mara's going to be all right with that. And plus, if you're Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, if you get rid of everybody around you, where does the spotlight turn? On you. There's nowhere else for it to go. It'll all be directly in their face, shining brightly, so brightly that they won't be able to see. And the second they'll slip up, like, that's where all the eyes, that's where all the attention, that's where all the blame is going to go. And they don't want that. So I do think they find a way to keep one or two of these coordinators. And that's why it makes me think John Mara is going to step in and find a way with a wink, even if, like, that's not his desire to stay. But we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. In the meantime, let's get to Dane Belton. On to the next one.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's bring on Giants safety Dane Belton here. Dane, welcome to the show. Appreciate the time, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me.
You're coming on the show after a pretty good performance. Two interceptions, a fumble recovery. You stepped in Jason Pinnock, hurt his foot. You stepped in, what was it, second quarter?
Yeah, probably late first, early
late
second.
Late first, early second. Got your opportunity, took advantage. So how do you feel when you're able to do that in that kind of game? I'm obviously, you've been, you know, biding your time here waiting for this opportunity.
Yeah, it feels good to finally get the opportunity. You know, kind of what, you know, I've said before, I know, you know, my skill and talent level, I know I can play this level, and it was just waiting on the opportunity. You know, kind of, I said it, you know, at a post game, it was nothing against, you know, the safeties we have or the coaches or anything. It's just, you know, kind of the situation. And, you know, for me, it was tough to not being able to play as much as I want throughout the season, but, you know, always staying ready at the same time. So when I got my opportunity, I know how to capitalize on it.
You say staying ready. So when you're not playing, I know you're a big part of the special teams, you know, the punt protector and the punt unit. But on the defensive side, how do you stay ready? Like, what can you do, you know, aside from just normal practicing to sort of be ready when that opportunity does come?
Yeah, it's really just about preparing like you're a starter. You know, you go out throughout the week and you get tips and keys from the coaching staff and this and that. And you got to make sure you are familiar with those, you know, studying film as if you're going to play every snap. So when you get in there, there's nothing unfamiliar to you. You know, you get in, you're comfortable and you know what's going on. You know the game plan, like the back of your hand, and just preparing like you're a starter. You know, that's the easiest way I can say it.
You feel like you're a different player than you were last year, like the Dane Belton we see when you're in the game now as a safety compared to the Dane Belton we saw on film last year.
Yeah, I definitely do. And you know, I definitely feel like just the intensity and effort level is higher. And really just the biggest thing is being healthy. You know, last year when I was playing, I wasn't my full self. My playing to the best of my ability just because of the injuries I had and I was playing with that kind of hindered my play. And I feel like this year it's a little different story. I'm fully healthy and able to, you know, kind of throw my body into things. But I do think I've definitely improved. And, you know, it's a continuation of a football player. You know, every year you want to improve. So, you know, I feel like even next year I'm gonna get better. So I definitely think I'm a better player this year than I was last.
You had the two surgeries last offseason, right? It was shoulder?
Yeah, shoulder and collarbones.
Shoulder and collarbone. So yeah, that kind of was limiting you throughout the season. I don't know if you heard, but so Brian Dabo was asked kind of about how you played and stepped in. And he mentioned that the thing that stood out to him was the effort and the way you sort of tracked down Puka Nacua on that play. And also, I believe it was another touchdown that they actually got in, but you still got the guy right at the goal line and made an effort there. Did you notice that? And what does that mean to you when the head coach is calling you out for that?
Oh, yeah. Someone did tell me yesterday about that. And it means a lot. You know, that is something that you can't coach, you know, effort level. And it's something that, you know, kind of talking on like what's kind of different this year and building on that. You know, I feel like that's something I've been building on since training camp. You know, whenever I get my opportunity and I'm on the field, especially this season, having limited snaps, you know, whenever I'm on the field, I want to give full effort, run to the ball, be in every picture. And so just being able to be recognized for that was definitely a good feeling. And you know, that's something I want to continue as a player. Every time I'm on the field, you know, I'm going to give full effort. You know, you kind of praise the guys that can do that every play. They're running to the ball 100%. So, you know, that's kind of what I want to build my game off of.
Did you watch that play on tape? And what did you see? Specifically the Nacua one when you tracked him down.
Yeah, I did watch it. And it was just, you know, right when I saw it, was no question. And I was like, I kind of joked about it with, you know, people in my family. It was like, right when I saw it, I kind of put my head down. And for a while there, I wasn't even looking at him. I just kind of picked my angle and just started like sprinting as if I was in track, you know, kind of head down. And then after a while, then I looked up to see where it was and kind of finished the play. So it was kind of, you know, funny on that end. But, you know, it was no question. I was like, you know, even if I don't get him, I was just going to run and, you know, see where I ended up. And I was able to, you know, kind of track him down, and, you know, it was a good play for the time being. But, you know, I feel like that was just kind of indicative on what I've been building on since, you know, like I said, like training camp, just being able to give 100% every play.
He kind of peaked at the board. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You did not peak at the board.
No, not at all.
When you're tracking at that point, you're just looking?
Yeah. Like I said, at first I was just looking down, trying to run as fast as I can. Then once I got, you know, a few more steps in, started, you know, eyeing him and trying to finish the play.
I'm looking. I just, I got you at 20.62 miles per hour in that play. What do you think?
Not bad.
You could do better?
Yeah, I think they had me at 21.3 this preseason. So it's definitely not my best, but, you know, it paid off, I guess.
So you show up to the game. You're looking sharp. You're total business, right? You got the briefcase, though. Let me set the scene. Dane's in a suit, all suited up nicely. He's got the briefcase, like the old school style briefcase. Skinny, squarish. Is there anything in the briefcase? And if there is, what do you bring in the briefcase? Because I'll tell you a story afterwards.
There's definitely stuff in the briefcase. I like to bring a bag every game for the most part, and I put my essentials in there. You know, I got two sets of headphones. I got the AirPods Max for in the locker room, and then I got the old AirPods, like the small ones for when I go on the field for warm up. I got face wash lotion for after the game. I have toilet wipes for if I go to the bathroom. You know, kind of a pregame thing. Make sure I'm clean there. And other than that, it's just kind of, you know, that's pretty much what I have in there.
I got to know though, why do you need two separate headphones? Why do you need
two
headphones? AirPods?
I like the big ones are better, you know, they're newer, better technology, they work better. But when I go on the field and I'm warming up, the warm up before the warm up, mm-hmm. if I wear the big ones and I'm moving around, they kind of fall off a little bit. So I like to wear the small ones because they fit, you know, snug in the ear. They don't fall off easily. So kind of that's why I have the two different ones.
Gotcha. So Dominique Rogers-Cromartie told this story on this podcast before. The Giants were actually going to London, and he mm-hmm. shows up with, it was almost like a briefcase, a little mini Lightning McQueen suitcase, right? Mm-hmm. to bring on the plane. It's kind of like his briefcase. Inside, I believe it had only two things, $1,000 in singles and a box of Trojan condoms. That's what he was bringing on the plane with him. Dominique Rogers-Cromartie in general. Yeah. Dude was a character. Also, in big into movies and superheroes and Marvel and stuff. And so hence the, I know Lightning McQueen isn't technically superhero Marvel, but you kind of get mm-hmm. get the point.
That's funny. No?
Yeah. So that's why I was curious, what do you actually have in the briefcase? I thought maybe it was just a fashion accessory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would say a little bit of that, but also just, you know, kind of it serves a purpose, you know, just bringing in my essentials for the game.
You're always dressing sharp for games. Take me through that routine. How much time and effort goes into it beforehand? What are you looking to accomplish? What are your limitations? What's your comfort zone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, fashion, you know, I've been really into that lately, you know, for the past couple of years. It's kind of an expression of who I am as a person. And I feel like I have a lot of styles. You know, I don't stick to one specific, you know, outline or cut. You know, I kind of branch out a little bit. And I would say on a normal week, you know, I spend a few hours, maybe 2 days before, you kind of 2 or 3 days before trying to set it out. But I feel like the past 5 or 6 weeks, I kind of had every outfit planned and what week I was going to wear in advance. So I kind of did my work early on that. And, you know, it's just a lot of things that go into it. I like accessories, bags, like we talked about, you know, glasses, different, you know, it's really about the, you know, kind of proportions, as someone would say, you know, kind of the fit of each clothing. And like I said, it's an expression of who I am as a person, what I like, you know, I like to feel good and like to look good. And this is kind of what I like to do pregame.
I feel like you got a bunch of suits though. You're a little more on the suit side than most guys.
Yeah, I got a few suits. You know, that's more of a recent thing. You know, I've kind of realized, you know, as I'm getting into this professional space, suits are essential. And, you know, I've definitely gathered a few, and I definitely want to keep going on that.
If I remember correctly, I believe you had a Moncler jacket as one of your gifts for Christmas. Was it the white Santa? I mean, white elephant,
yeah.
Secret Santa. Or something.
Yeah, we did a little gift exchange in the team, and I did end up with the Montclair. So, you know, I will say I'm not a big, you know, winter coat guy, but, you know, I have to see how I can incorporate that. But yeah, I definitely love the gifts.
What were some of the gifts? What was it? White elephant?
Yeah, we did a white elephant. Just some bags, you know, a lot of bags was the most part of one of the PlayStation 5 Portal, you know, that new thing. Yeah, some pants, some just different things. You know, we kind of some glasses, a couple pairs of glasses were in there. So, you know, guys kind of spread around, you know, kind of what we got and put in there.
So is there, this is what I'm always curious of, is there a minimum that guys have to spend or is there a maximum?
Yeah, there's a minimum. You know, I probably won't say what the minimum was, but it raised from last year in our room at least. And you know, it makes it fun. You know, you don't want to get somebody a super cheap gift. You know, we're all very fortunate and blessed to be where we are. So kind of makes it fun to just really, you know, kind of bring gifts together and know, you know, there's some thought put in there and kind of, you know, excited for what we get.
So you can't like show up with like a $50 hat, you know, $20 hat.
No,
whatever.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, but you have to put it out of the room for sure, huh?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So yeah, you guys did come up short in that game, obviously, mm-hmm. against the Rams. But one thing we have noticed is this team is still playing hard. We've seen teams in the past that kind of have, you know, folded it up and went home. That is one thing we could say about the 2023 Giants is you guys have played hard till the end. Why do you think that is? And what is it about this group that you think has been able to hold it together in that regard?
I just feel like the level of professionalism, you know, top to bottom, everyone in the building, it's, you know, that's the main goal is we want to win no matter what. And even though we didn't have the season we wanted, you know, didn't get into the playoffs and this and that, but every game, it's not about, you know, oh, the season's already over, we might as well give up. It's always about how can we win this game? You know, we're always priding ourselves on being the best, playing the best, and trying to win. So, you know, no matter what, you know, even this next game coming up, we're going to, you know, our focus is on winning, you know, no matter what. So it's just the level of professionalism every player has that, you know, no matter what situation we're in, we're going to try to win.
Obviously, the Eagles are playing for something pretty big here, right? The title is potentially on the line for them. Is there anything from your perspective and from you talking to guys, do you care about being a spoiler? Does that hold any meaning to you if you could do that?
Yeah, it does a little, you know, but, you know, at the same time, it just feeds into what I just said about winning. You know, it definitely feels good to being able to, you know, kind of what we talked about last year in our situation when we were playing the Colts, you know, they were going to try to come in and spoil for us when we needed that win to get in the playoffs. So we know it's a thing, you know, we know it's something out there that teams think about to try to motivate themselves to play a game that really isn't meaningful for them necessarily. But, you know, for us, it's really just boils down to winning, you know, no matter what, you know, yeah, it would be nice to spoil or this and that. But, you know, for us, it's just about we're going to go out there for the last time together, you know, this team for the last time and try to go out there and get a win. So that's pretty much what the focus is on.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities that it might be the last time with Wake Martindale. It's been pretty well documented. There's been some tension between him and Brian Daboll, at least publicly. I don't know how much you guys get a sense of that. And what would that be like if, you know, you found out he wasn't going to end up returning after this week?
Yeah, see, I had no idea about it, about any tension. Yeah, you don't really see that at all in the facility. So I didn't know about it till it was addressed one time, you know, a couple weeks ago. And I was kind of shocked. But, you know, I have, you know, now that that has come up, you know, there is a possibility. And, you know, we're just, that's something we're not really focused on, you know, what's going to happen after. You know, it's kind of a future, you know, thinking about the future too much. But for us, you know, like I said, if it is our last game, we're going to try to go out with a bang. And we know it will be our last game with some players. And, you know, every year, you know, a room is going to be different. You know, team's going to look different. So you get that feeling no matter what. And so our focus is on winning this game and whatever happens, happens. And we're going to move forward in the future.
All right. We're going to wrap up here. Let's have you take us inside the DB room, okay?
Mm.
We need to find out what the defensive back room is like. All right. So we'll start with an easy one. Who's the leader? Who's the guy whose voice is heard the loudest?
It's definitely Xavier.
Why?
He has that leadership mentality, you know, from the jump. You know, when I came in, it was his third year, so he's still fairly young. But he was just that guy that had the voice in the room. Everyone listens to. He's a playmaker, and he goes about his business the right way. So people kind of gravitate to his voice. And the main thing I would say is he's all about winning. You know, it kind of shows, you know, even when we're in our losing, you know, spell and the frustration he has sometimes, but it all stems from winning. And you kind of, yeah, you know, people have different opinions on how he handled it, but at the end of the day, you know, his focus is on winning and we weren't doing that. So, you know, to have a mindset like that is that no matter how, you know, he played or any of the team played, as long as we won, it was good. So just a guy like that you can appreciate.
Biggest personality in that room is?
Oh, I would say probably we have a few. I would say Adoree or Darnay. Definitely.
I figured you. Adoree was the first one that came to my head when I wrote that down.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys are big personality guys.
Can you do a Deontay Banks impression?
Oh, man. I would say, I got to say, like, if we're talking about goals for a week, he'll be like, let me get two picks. Let me get two of them things. That's probably the best I could do. I don't know. He kind of has that accent. It's kind of hard to emulate.
That's why I asked you, because it's kind of unique. Like when you're going up to him for the first time, you don't know him or whatever, you're surprised that that's his accent and that's his voice, you know?
You're
like, oh, shoot. You know, I didn't expect that.
Yeah, we always give him crap for it, but, you know, it's kind of a joke we got. Everyone has.
What's up, my guy?
Yeah.
Like, what's up, my guy? That's because he doesn't know any of our names, so we call us all my guy. You need a loan. Who do you go to? Who do you trust the most in that room?
I need a loan. I'm gonna go Flott. I feel like Flott, if you like, we're really close, and you know, he'll definitely look out, and knowing that, you know, we trust each other, we're gonna pay each other back on that, and it's kind of appreciative. That's my guy, though. I'm gonna definitely go Flott.
You'll ride with Flott any day of the week.
Yeah, definitely.
You mentioned your relationship with Flott. Because I noticed you and Micah McFadden also seem to have a very close relationship. You're from the same town. I'm not the same town, but same area, same city, right? Tampa area. You went to the Midwest. You know, you played college football. He played at Indiana. You played at Iowa. You signed with the same agency. Did you know him? Did you know of him as a player in Tampa area before?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. So, you know, we do have a really good relationship now. And it was growing up, we kind of knew of each other. We never really hung out or anything. We weren't in the same friend groups, but we definitely knew of each other. And going to the Midwest, you know, we had been following each other on Instagram since high school. And, you know, going to the, like you said, playing in the Midwest, we ended up playing each other our last years in college. And we really didn't kind of get, I guess, talk. Is until that fly up after the draft, you know, going into OTAs. It was, I was sitting at the gate and he walks up and we knew like we both got drafted and stuff, but and we hit each other up as well. But right when we got to the gate, he came up to me and then we were sitting next to each other on the flight. And ever since then, it was kind of a friendship that's been growing. So it was, we knew of each other, you know, starting, but we weren't super close, but it's kind of cool seeing that come to fruition, having that, you know, kind of familiarity with someone going into a new place.
Is he your locker mate? Is he in the locker?
Yeah, he is.
He's a couple over.
He's right next to me.
Yeah. Locker mates from the same area. Did you play against him in high school?
We played against each other in a spring kind of scrimmage. And so we both went to really, really good high schools in the area, two of the top high schools in the area. I remember we played each other in that scrimmage, and that was probably the year my high school had one of the best teams that I was a part of, and he had their best teams, and we kind of go back and forth on who won the scrimmage, but I think the consensus is my team won for sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. In your mind, of course, your team won.
Yeah.
Do you remember him in that scrimmage? Like, do you remember?
Yeah, I do. I remember.
He could play.
Yeah, because that was my sophomore year in high school. He was a junior, and that was my first year starting at safety. And I remember
was he a linebacker at the time?
Yeah, he was a linebacker. Yeah. And that was when, you know, they were talking about their defense and their O-line. And so I do remember, you know, their defense with the guys they had. But I remember we had a running back. He's on the Cowboys now. But I remember him exploiting them a little bit. So I'll leave that up to imagination, though.
Appreciate it, man. Dane Belton. Off the two interception fumble recovery game. Gonna probably have another opportunity again this week. Good luck, man. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
On to the next one.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks to Dane Belton right there. That was a fun little interview. It'll be interesting to see him play in the finale and see what their plans are for him next year. Because remember, Xavier McKinney's another one. We didn't get to him in the earlier section. but he's another very intriguing case. Does he come back? If he doesn't, do the Giants just go with Dane Belton? Do they feel confident enough to go with Dane Belton and Jason Pinnock as their two safeties? I'm not sure I would feel fully confident with that combination. I feel like I would need a veteran at least to go along with them if that were the case. But anyway, let's get to Quick Jordan on the beat. This is where I tell you what it's like to cover the Giants, work for ESPN, or cover the NFL in general. It's inevitable. Every year, I think I brought this up in the past, but every year, you're traveling. You're going from city to city, back and forth, at home. You're working, you know, 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week, doing all different kinds of things. My body breaks down. It's inevitable. My body breaks down. Just like when I was younger, like 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, when I first started doing the Giants beat, I would inevitably be at the airport and be unable to find my car. Now I've gotten a little smarter. Take a picture. You know, you take your phone, you take a picture of where you park. It's easier. I park in the same spot in Newark Airport every time, pretty much same little area, so I know. But there used to be a time that I did that. Same way as when I'm traveling, it just wears me down. And my body inevitably gives in and I get sick. Plus, kids are coming up from school. They're having, you know, there's this virus is going around school. Makes you more susceptible then because you're traveling. Your immune system's low at that point. And here we are. The point of the year where I am predictably under the weather. But I will say this. It took until January. It's a little self-pat on the back. All right. You made it till January this year. You're moving up in the world. You're getting better. Now, the next few weeks are great because everything kind of settles down a little bit. Yes, they'll get, you know, there'll be some moves. We talked about the coaching staff upheaval that's likely coming earlier. And we'll see what happens there. And those moves will happen. And I'll have to hire new people. There's eventually the senior bowl, the combine, all this good stuff. The draft, free agency. But in the meantime, at least I get to work from home. I'm around more. You know, my sleep, I get more sleep. Lifestyle improves once the season's over. That's for sure. So, as my daughter said yesterday, she was very happy when I told her the season's over this week. So, yeah, you'll be around more. It's true. That's true. When the season ends, I'm more present. I'm around more. And you get to be healthier. So, that's a really crappy, quick Jordan on the beat, but I think we went long enough on this episode already. So remember, like, subscribe, tell your friends, send questions, because I think next week is going to be a good time. So beginning of next week, I'll remind everybody, I'll go on social media, remind everybody, submit your questions. We're going to do a Giants After Dark. We'll answer a lot of questions next week on where this organization is and how they proceed forward. Remember, like, subscribe, tell your friends you listen to Breaking Big Blue. See you next time.